Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Thanks very much, Dave Schwann. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. All right, did you know that all the top 10 fruits that we eat in this country, the top 10 most popular fruits, all must be harvested by hand? They've got to be picked by hand. It's the same for seven of the top 10 vegetables we eat. The farmers, the workers who pick those vegetables, by and large, are Mexicans who are here legally, Mexicans who are here illegally, and their numbers are shrinking and the farmers are feeling it. That's what I got out of an article written by Barry Estabrook from the food journalist from Eating Well magazine, and he joins us on a phone line now. Barry, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
So tell me about this idea that, you know, the farmers, well, let's start with the farmer Tony Serrano, who you start the article with, who has crops that he's just letting rot in the fields because he can't find anyone to pick them.
Well, yes, that's exactly right. In fact, I talked to several farmers in California while researching the article, and they all were in that situation. They literally were watching crops rot in the fields because they can't get enough work.
So he grew strawberries, and he walked through the strawberry field that was just lying abandoned because he had a contract for summer zucchini with Costco and other fields. That's where his real money was, so he had to sacrifice the strawberries because he only had enough workers to pick the zucchini.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. I mean, the field looked as if it had been swept by some horrible disease or a drought, the strawberry field, because no one was able to get in and work it.
And this isn't a brand new, I mean, everything seems to be about Donald Trump these days, but this isn't really a brand new phenomenon, right? I mean, this has been happening over the last decade or even couple of decades.
Well, it really became a problem in a couple of years after the recession.
Okay.
And it's been steadily getting worse every year since. So you're exactly right. It's not caused by the current administration, but it is getting worse.
From 2007 to 2016, the estimate is, according to the Pew Research Center, that nearly a million Mexican and their families have left the United States and returned home. Is that because things are better in Mexico, or because things are just too expensive in California, Georgia, and elsewhere?
Well, it's both. It's very hard to make ends meet as a farm worker in this country. The average farm worker makes $17,000 a year, and most of them make under $10,000 a year. Well, you can't afford an apartment or even a room in an apartment on that type of income.
Right.
So Mexico, under the new president, is starting to look more promising to some of the workers, and they're moving back.
Mexico's... I'm sorry, go ahead, Tony.
Yeah. Go ahead. And, I don't think... lost in the immigration debate and the border crisis debate is the fact that Mexicans are leaving this country in droves.
Well,
they're not coming in.
And so, a couple of things then. There is a legal way to bring in temporary farm workers, right? But if you do that, you have to provide housing, you have to provide a lot of stuff for them. It's very expensive. So if you're a small farmer, you can't really afford to do that. And even if you're a big farmer, the bureaucracy, the paperwork, the lack of a guarantee, there's not a lot of incentive to do that, correct?
Well, a small farmer, you simply can't.
Yeah.
You also have to pay their transportation from their home country to here and back, in addition to providing them with housing. So it's out of the question for a small farmer. For a large farmer that can handle the paperwork and the cost, it's still very awkward. You get into all sorts of bureaucratic snafus, and they find that even in that case, a lot of the workers don't come in time.
And so the result is, and the thing I was talking about earlier this morning is, now food that we are eating that might have been grown in the Central Valley of California is instead being grown in Mexico. In a way, we're exporting our agriculture to Mexico.
Yeah, the bigger companies, the bigger food producing companies can afford to do that. Just pick up and basically leave to where the workers are. And they're doing so. I mean, in the last few years, we've gone from exporting food to Mexico to importing more food from Mexico than we export.
It's kind of a perverted thing. So the idea of thwarting the Mexican immigration here is hurting American farmers and building up the Mexican economy.
Yeah, and if, you know, people who are interested in supporting local farmers and who feel that our food laws and so on, food safety laws, are better than Mexico's, are out of luck.
So what's the fix here, Barry?
Well, it's the one thing that I've found in covering agriculture where everybody agrees on the solution, the big farmers, the small farmers, even the workers' unions, and that is that we've got to figure out some way that these people can come and work legally, not necessarily come and get a path to citizenship or get a permanent green card, but some mechanism where these people can come and work legally.
Because, I mean, there have been crackdowns from ICE and others, and so some of the people who might have come illegally or quasi-legally are much less inclined to make that risk these days.
Exactly. It's very, very expensive to smuggle yourself across the border illegally. And with the crackdowns, people are saying, geez, I pay $5,000 or $10,000 and get sent back. I'm doomed.
What about robotics? I mean, is there a future for robots in these fields?
Future is the operative word. There's progress being made, but it's not going to happen overnight or even in the next decade. It's coming slowly. The trouble is there's still that human brain and hand, especially with picking fruit, that machines they really can't do. Robots can't do. Right. Fruits are different sizes.
It can't thump a melon.
It's a good example. Exactly. Yeah. You can't thump a melon and think, I should pick this today, or maybe I'll let it sit a couple of more days, or if it's going to rain next week, maybe I should get it out today. You know, all these decisions that farm workers make in a fraction of a second, thousands of times a day, machines can't do that yet.
Barry Esterbrook wrote the article. It's in Eating Well magazine. Check it out. I was a big Cooking Light fan, and it looks like Cooking Light has sort of been absorbed by Eating Well, so we got it in the mail, read your article, and I'm glad we did. Barry, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate talking to you.